listen to just a portion of the scripture again. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love, like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. That's from Eugene Peterson's The Message translation of the last two verses of this morning's scripture text. The somewhat more familiar New Revised Standard Version offers those same verses this way. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. So the phrase, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped as each part is working properly, gets translated by Peterson as, he keeps us in step with each other, his very breath and blood flow through us. At first, when I read the two translations side by side, it seemed to me a bit of a stretch. Joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, offered up as he keeps us in step with each other. It seemed like a bit of a stretch to say that those two different translations of the same text were talking about the same thing, ligaments joined and keeping in step. That is, until I started high school soccer practice with the boys this past week, two-a-day preseason practices. And on the second day, I was running with them during one of their sets of wind sprints, enjoying teasing them about not being fast enough or grabbing an occasional shirt to slow them down. When on the next to the last sprint, as I was completing it and coming to the sideline, I felt a sudden pop in my calf. Felt like somebody had punched me in the calf. And just that quickly, I could hardly move. The boys finished running all in a line, while I limped in behind them, hardly in step at all. The high school athletic trainer was there at the time, so I limped over to his cart and sat down. "What happened?" he said. I told him. He shook his head. "Where on the calf? Did it feel like you were shot in the back of the leg? Can you lift your heel up and down?" And I quickly realized he was trying to find out if I had ruptured my Achilles tendon. And wouldn't that be ironic, I thought afterwards, in a week where the scripture talks about ligaments and tendons. Well, it wasn't that, but I've been limping around ever since, a muscle pull perhaps, but more likely a small tear in my calf muscle. And so this week, walking, much less running, isn't the same, and I'm very much more aware of muscles and ligaments and tendons and movement and keeping up. And keeping in step is a whole new challenge. And setting the phrases from the two translations alongside each other, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, alongside we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. I am reminded that keeping in step with each other is not so hard so long as all the ligaments are joined and knit together, so long as we know where we are going, so long as others wait up for us when we are a bit slower or a bit off course, so long as we are clear that we are part of the same body. But when we are wounded or conflicted or confounded or confused, when we are tired or aching or lost or discouraged, when we are not in the best of health or dealing with pain or uncertain of the future, when something suddenly goes pop in the back of our leg, so to speak, when we least expected it, then staying in step is a challenge at best. Paul's letter to the Ephesians reveals that he understands that we live in a fractured world, that we are and that we live among people who are wounded. He understands that muscles are strained and ligaments are torn and bodies are tired. And part of what Paul wants to do as he writes to the Ephesians is to talk to them about how you put things back together, how you help to heal what is wounded, how you reunite what has been pulled apart, what has been divided, how you get back in step with each other. So he talks about unity. He talks about the old life and the new life, about reconciliation and healing, and about the health of the body. And this body that he talks about is our collective body, the church, with Christ as the head. And, says Paul, we must always remember and we must always keep our focus on the fact that it is in Christ that we find our reconciliation, that we find our shared faith, we find our unity, we find our healing. And the chief characteristic of being in Christ, the catalyst of this healing, this coming together, the thing that puts us back in step with each other, it is love. It is love. This text for this morning starts with these words. I want you to get out there and walk, better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. That's the beginning. And then the text for this morning ends with these words: God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and tell it in love. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. That is to say, there is this love instruction, this love description, both at the beginning and at the end. But I think it's important to note that it is not a version of love that simply floats around us. Rather, it's love that motivates us and moves us. Get out there and walk. Better yet, run, says Paul, for Christ keeps us in step with each other. So I think I'd like to challenge us today to think about Paul's call to love and reconciliation and unity in that way. Not just as an ideal or something soft and warm and comforting, but as motivation, as muscles that need to be developed, tendons that need to be stretched so that we might be moved along. To think of such love as characterized by and expressed through energy and purpose and growth. When we come into the high school soccer season, as we did this past week, very quickly as coaches, we can tell who has been working in the off season and who hasn't. And it isn't just in terms of who is rusty, whose skills need to get back into use, who needs to remember how the game is played. It's also in terms of who has gotten stronger and faster and more physically mature, but perhaps even more importantly, we notice it in terms of who comes into the season already motivated, committed, passionate, and excited. Who really loves the game? And who really loves being part of the team? The mind and the muscles go together in that sense. The focus is the focus of body combined with spirit. And that means that the players who are ready not only physically, but they're ready to be together, to play together, to get on with it, to be in step with each other. I know it's only early August, but after going through the school registration lines this past week, along with being out on the soccer field for preseason practices, it feels to me like the school year is nearly upon us. And with that comes a new season of growth, of expectation, of leaning in, of maturing, of teamwork, of community, of mind and body activated for good works and good-heartedness. And while those of school age have to face all of that, A new year with new possibilities and new motivations and new classes and new configurations of community. The same opportunity is available to all of us with these questions before us. In this new season, what new or renewed expressions of love and reconciliation and unity and healing are we going to move along? What are the ways in which we are going to come into stride with each other, into step with each other and with Christ? How will we activate our love? NPR sends me occasional emails with what they describe as stories you might like. This past week, I got an email with this heading, "The friendliest email you'll read all week." Well, how can you not look at something like that? And it turns out that it was about the UN International Day of Friendship. In the email, there were descriptions and links to four or five stories, among them a story about people randomly and joyously reaching out to each other via telephone after neighboring countries, Eritrea and Ethiopia, recently ended their decades-long war. There was a story about a little girl who saw a sad older man at the grocery store and struck up a conversation that led to a genuine and life-giving friendship. At the end of the grocery aisle, the four-year-old spotted the widower, and bouncing up and down, she smiled at him and said, "Hi, old person, today is my birthday." To which he replied, "Well, hi, little lady, how old are you today?" And it went on from there. And there was a story about two little girls, one black, one white, who met at an elementary school in Miami in the 1970s, in that period of public school desegregation, and who became close friends at that time, but later drifted apart, likely because of race and the way that people often drift apart as they get older. Then NPR helped them find each other again decades later. The first couple of stories I mentioned were good, but the last one is the one that seemed to me to land right next to the scripture today. Lives in step and then not, and how love motivates us to get moving again. The story of the two girls, now women, which first appeared on the NPR show Weekend Edition Sunday and was produced by Asia Simone Burns, went like this. In the 1970s, two little girls met in an elementary school in Miami, Florida, and became close friends. One was black and one was white. Dr. Sharoni Green is now an assistant professor of history at the University of Alabama, and she said her friend Beth helped her during a tough time. "I was among a group of African-American students who were integrating Biscayne Gardens Elementary in Miami in the early 70s, and everyone, generally speaking, was very kind to us, but something about my relationship with Beth was pretty special." Green says that she has vivid memories of arriving at Biscayne Gardens on the school bus, where she'd often find Beth waiting on the sidewalk for her. "And she would hold my hand, and we would go play together before the first bell rang," she says. But over time, the two girls grew apart. They found other friends and began to spend less and less time together. And race might have played a part in that, Green says. "I think by our preteen years, you sort of have this unspoken expectation that maybe you should be more with your own kind." She says, "I remember dancing to sort of prove to some of my black friends that I wasn't, as they used to call me, white girl. And that was pretty hurtful." But Green never forgot her childhood friend. "As a professor at the University of Alabama, and as a history professor in particular, I have a lot of opportunities to talk to my students about how much has changed and how there's still room for growth as we progress socially in America. And from time to time when I lecture, I tell my students, you know, when I was a lot younger than you are, I had a friend named Beth, and she didn't look like me, and boy, did I love her." NPR looked for Green's friend via social media and found that the two women weren't very far from each other at all, and they were both part of the academic community. Dr. Beth Higab is a senior lecturer in industrial engineering at Louisiana Tech University. She says she has fond memories of her childhood friend. Green would come over to her house to play, or they would have a sleepover. "I always thought she was a very special part of my life," Higab says. "And I think about my kids, I think about that Miami was more integrated than Louisiana, but my kids have had African-American friends, and I'm glad that they don't see a problem with that, just like I didn't. I always hope that I passed on that people are people, and you look at them and look in their hearts and which ones you're going to be friends with based on that. For Hagab, the reunion is happy but bittersweet. She lost her dad 17 years ago and lost her mom in November. I was very sad that I couldn't go back to them and talk about you, Hagab says, because I know they would just love that we are reconnecting. Green understands. Hagab was a rock for her when the two girls were growing up. She says, my mom was often sick when I was a little girl, and you were a safe space. I just love you, Beth, and I'm so glad we found each other again. In step with each other. Sometimes we lose our way or travel off the path. But love brings us back. In Christ's love, we are able to be in step with each other. And it is love that leads us. It leads us to healing. It leads us to unity. It leads us to reconciliation. It leads us home. May it be so.